Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
For those who have been following along from Bible study and then on the prayer call on yesterday, I had every intention of remaining in Exodus chapter 33. I am confident we will find our way back there in the week coming. There's a thought that hit my heart on Thursday, and I felt the need to push through with this particular presentation. You know, it's very easy to sing songs in church without really paying attention to what the words are saying about God. As we offer praise to the Lord each week, we should really consider what it is we are saying about Him in order that we might glorify Him with understanding and learn even more about Him as we honor Him. You do know it's right to praise God with your mind. It's perfectly proper to praise God intellectually. One of the problems we have is we only sing songs and thereby only praise God based on what we're going through. And so, in a manner of speaking, Lady Kim, we actually kind of reduce who God is to only being what we need in that moment. And then we limit our praise to that. And I believe we rob Him of the praise that's due to a God who is not only that, but He is that and then much more. And so what happens is we sing songs and without even honoring God, we begin to praise Him as the God who is what we need. And we praise Him through our pain. We praise Him as a result of our sorrow. We praise Him as a result of our neediness instead of praising Him for Him. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And so we eliminate the opportunity that is there, Sister Angela, for us to praise God intellectually, to be, Tori, contextually cognizant of who God is and why He is deserving of praise. We don't just praise God with our feelings. We don't praise God only out of and because of our pains, problems, and predicaments. No, we ought to praise God with all that we are because of all that He is. We can praise Him with our minds, praising Him with our intellect. We can take note of the splendor of His creation and give Him praise. I can open my eyes in the morning and take note even in my bedroom of the wonder of God's creation. Without even looking at the window, I can look at my hands and my feet. I can wiggle my toes and make a fist. And that is reason to give God praise. I don't have to wait until these things hurt and then praise God for healing. I can praise Him like the old folk used to say, Mother Ferguson, for health and strength. I can praise Him because the blood runs warm in my veins, and that's a reminder of the greatness of our God. I can praise Him for the active use of my limbs. And then dare I go outside, I can look at the wonder of the world He has designed. Visit Niagara's Falls and allow your heart to race at the sheer sound of the water's force. Venture out on a cruise ship when things open back up. Stand on the ship's bow, try to see the shore while surrounded by the sea. And realize in that moment that for all the water you can see and even the land that you can, our God holds all of it in the palm of His hand. Observe, if you will, the world He created and the animals He populated it with before He even made man. Have you paid attention to the pretty pink of the flamingo? Observe the majestic mane of the lion. Take sight of the winged, oh God, might of the eagle. Make note of the spots on the leopard or the wet whiskers on the walrus. See the creativity, the artistry, the flair of our supreme sovereign. I'll never forget my last trip to SeaWorld. Listen, y'all don't understand. I've been spending all week just thinking about God, not what I need from him. And I won't forget, Elder Hill, our last trip to SeaWorld. Lady Kim is laughing already. The family, we're sitting in the stands during one of the performances, you know, and I am completely mesmerized, watching the speed, the size, the majesty of the orca. The 20,000-pound, 30-foot-long killer whale, when it launched from the water and seemed to pose for my camera, I spent 15 minutes in awe. By the end of the performance, quite like I am right now, tears are in my eyes. And I whisper to my wife with the same shaky voice, God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, God, who created the neck on the giraffe? My God. Gave the cheetah his speed. Oh, God, hung every star in the sky. That's the God we just got through singing about. Oh. Sometimes we forget and we don't worship God with our minds. And that's the lesson I want us to receive today, to really understand the God we worship. We arrive at Jude's letter. He is the half-brother of Jesus. His name fully is Judas, but lest they confuse you with the one who betrayed Jesus, they maintained the shortened version of his name, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. He offers a short but strong reminder of the need for us to contend for our faith. After spending time discussing the danger of false teachers, reiterating the need for purity in our lives, and exhorting us to remain faithful, he concludes with a psalm or a praise to God. We call it a doxology. A doxology is, in its simplest form, a praise to God. Oh, I love you. Properly defined, it is a hymn or form of words containing an ascription to praise God. Pastor H.B. Charles expresses a doxology as this: a succinct statement in the Bible that teaches us to worship God and at the same time help us to know something more of the God that we worship. One of the most famous metrical doxologies, you know, is praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, what's wrong with me today? Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, okay, don't do it. Don't do it. I got to get through this. Listen. Listen. I'm not asking for you to forgive me, but just understand something. There's a place you can get in your praise ain't got nothing to do with what you need. And listen. You'll stand there and admire the glory of God with pain in your body, no money in the bank, people talking about you, and you'll still say, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, oh God. Problem with some of us is we need so much from God. We need him to do stuff. And we treat God like he's, like Janet Jackson sings about, what have you done for me lately? Instead of waking up and just being glad to be alive and to be able to see, at least rejoice, because the God who could have taken your life decided. But if all you need is a bill paid, it's real hard. Okay. Most, I got this thing written out. Let me read. Many of the doxologies are benedictory in nature. This is because they allow us to commend ourselves to our God, not only when our time of corporate worship has concluded, but also in moments when a reminder is needed that in our lives, with whatever is pressing us about our lives, we can always commend or release ourselves into the care of our Heavenly Father. We can commend ourselves to Him because He has the power to be to us whatever we need to be, Him to be, simply by being who He is. And that makes Him deserving of praise. Jude, in his doxology, shouts to us that we can commend ourselves to Him because, watch this now, He is able. Y'all don't see already, I will leave you today. Like I'm about to float straight up off this pulpit and you don't even realize it. But I'm going to run it for you one more time. Jude says, now unto Him who is able. Don't go too far. He says, hold for a minute. He says He is able. Somebody shout able. The word able comes from the Greek, and it is the word dunamai. It gives us English words like dynamic, dynamo, dynamite. It conveys the basic meaning of possessing and exerting the inherent ability to do something or to accomplish an end. Thus, dunamai means to be able to be capable of, to be strong enough to do, or to have power to do a thing. We've learned already in Scripture of the ableness or the ability of God. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we learn He is able to save. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, we see He is able to establish. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, He is able to aid and assist. Philippians 3 and 21 tell us He is able to subdue. Y'all already know Ephesians 3 and 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. God, if I had enough time, and it ain't even about the time, it's about, I know if I go here, I won't come back. But that right there ought to be a good place for you to tell your own testimony that I know that the God I serve is able. He's like dynamite in my situation. He is mighty in my mess. He is powerful in my, God help me here. He is powerful in my predicament. He is the God of wonder and strength. He's able. Okay. I know it's not testimony service, but somebody knows He's able to heal. Woo! He's able to fix a relationship. He's able to keep you sane. He is able to protect you. He is able to provide for you. He is able to preserve you. Somebody shout, He's able! Oh. Watch now. Help me, Lord. Watch now. Can I just take 30 seconds to thank God that He's able? Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Wait. This the trip. I don't even need nothing right now. I'm just glad to know He's able. So I don't shout because it's just emotion. I don't shout because he touched my body physically. It's just how my mind is blown at the strength and the ability of our great God. Somebody just whisper, he's able. Watch now. God, I love you. Watch now. Y'all got to stop because y'all don't want to stay in church. COVID make you think church only supposed to be 62 minutes. And two of those minutes supposed to be opening and closing credits. But can I act like time don't matter? Woo! Sit. I got a little more. Woo! Yes, he's able! Somebody help First Lady, please. Come on, give him praise. When you go home, you owe God about two more minutes of completely crazy and yet entirely intellectual praise. because you know he is able. Listen, listen, please. Watch Jude give. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The specificity of his ability. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Deep breath. Deep breath. Deep breath. Watch this. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The actual transliteration of this is to keep you from falling away. It really means you won't leave your faith. I won't stay there. But I have learned that in some instances, falling away is preceded by simply falling. That falling and failing are attached to our own ability or attempts to keep ourselves. But God is able to keep that from happening. He is able to protect you from falling. Not only to keep you from falling, from stumbling, but also from the ensuing effect of the fall, the misfortune of death, disease, or disability that can result from it. The first point to note is really obvious. If he is able to keep me from falling, Kaya, it means that falling is more than a possibility. Falling, Brother Carlos, is expected in the course of our normal lives. Sister Melissa, get this. In other words, as I go through life, there will be conditions, context, or companions that all could cause me to stumble. But if I have commended my life to him, he won't let me stumble. He protects me from falling. David Guzak, in his study of Jude, illustrates that with this point. In mountain climbing, the beginning hiker attaches himself to the expert with a cord. The intention is that if the beginning hiker loses his footing, although he might stumble, he won't stumble to his death. Because even if he falls, he's attached to the expert. Can't stay there, but I'm thankful this morning, Elder Halyard, that I'm attached to the expert. Oh, and then that way, he protects us from falling. He keeps us safe. But not only does he protect us from falling, the text says he is able to present you faultless. Faultless. Faultless in the Greek means above reproach, blameless, unblemished. Above reproach, you know, such that no criticism could be made. What kind of God is this? Who can take us and not only protect us from falling, but to present us faultless. That's where I got the last 5 minutes. My title is Presented Faultless. Oh, help me, Lord. This is an amazing thought. Sister Williams to actually swallow. That the God of the universe, the God who scooped and formed the mountains, as the poem goes, he spat and the seas were created. That God who made two lights, one to govern the day, he called it sun, and the next to govern the night, and he called it the moon. That God does a work that supersedes all of his creation or creative artistry. He is able to not just hold the galaxies in his hand, but when it comes time for you and I to stand before God, his presentation of us puts us without fault, without blemish, without reproach. Can't nobody criticize us when he presents us to his own presence. That's how able he is. Oh, it blows my mind. And I bet you know why it blows my mind, Lady Aisha. It blows my mind because I have faults. It's just me. Ain't nobody in here but Terry Jr. I got stuff wrong with me. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the burning Holy Ghost, and I do stupid stuff. I got faults. I have stood in the pulpit with the emblem of my salvation around my neck, the ring symbolizing my ecclesiastical and episcopal authority on my hand, and had some of the dumbest thoughts you could ever see. People walk in the sanctuary and I be sitting up there looking real holy, thinking, oh Lord, why they came to church today? It's just me. I got faults. I don't just have faults. I'm to blame for a whole lot of stuff. I know you won't take the blame. I know you found a way to put all blame on other people in every single situation in your life, when the reality is you in every single situation are the common denominator. All them people ain't wrong about you. You're the blame. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I should have let them keep dancing. That's what I should have did. I should have let them keep dancing. I've got blemishes. I have stuff about me that just ain't right. Stuff about me that for all of the polish and the pomade, it is right there, a blemish. Something that you may not be able to see from a distance, but if you get up close, if you get into my intimate space, you'll see sometimes my breath stinks.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.